Thank you, Kijai.
And Jai.
Very nice now, isn't it?
Jai.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Srimad Bhagavatam, 1st Canto, Chapter 19, The Appearance of Sukadev Goswami, Text Number 30. Sa samvritastata mahan mahiyasam brahmar sirajar sidevar sisangai vyaru chatalam bhagavan yatindu grahak satara nikarai paritaha. Saha,
Saha,
Sri Sukadev Goswami,
Goswami.
Sambhrita,
Sambhrita,
surrounded by,
surrounded by,
Tatra,
Tatra,
there,
there,
Maha,
Maha,
great,
great,
Mahiyasam,
Mahiyasam,
of the greatest,
of the greatest.
Brahmarsi,
Brahmarsi,
saint among the Brahmanas,
saint among the Brahmanas.
Rajarishi,
Rajarishi,
saint among the kings,
saint among the kings.
Devarishi,
Devarishi,
saint among the demigods,
saint among the demigods.
Sangai,
Sangai,
by the assembly of,
by the assembly of.
Vyaruchata,
Vyaruchata,
well deserved,
well-deserved.
Alam,
Alam,
able,
able.
Bhagavan,
Bhagavan,
powerful,
powerful.
Yata,
Yata,
as,
as.
Indu,
Indu,
the moon,
the moon.
Graha,
Graha,
planets,
planets.
Riksha,
Riksha,
heavenly bodies,
heavenly bodies.
Tara,
Tara,
stars,
stars.
Nikarai,
Nikarai,
by the assembly of,
by the assembly of.
Paritaha,
Paritaha,
surrounded by,
surrounded by.
Translation: Sukadev Goswami was then surrounded by saintly sages and demigods, just as the moon is surrounded by stars, planets, and other heavenly bodies. His presence was gorgeous, and he was respected by all. In the great assembly of saintly personalities, there was Vyasadeva, the Brahma Rishi, Narada, the Deva Rishi, Parasaram, the great ruler of the Kshatriya kings, etc. Some of them were powerful incarnations of the Lord. Sukadev Goswami was not known as Brahma Rishi, Raja Rishi, or Deva Rishi, nor was he an incarnation like Narada, Vyasa, Parasaram, and yet he excelled them in respects paid. This means that the devotees of the Lord, the devotee of the Lord is more honored in the world than the Lord himself. One should ever never minimize the importance of a devotee like Sukadev Goswami. Om Jnanati Marandasya Yanandana Salakya Shakshur Unminitam Yana Tasmai Si Gurave Namaha Si Chaitanya Manobhistam stapitam yena bhutale svayam rupa kadamayam dadati svapadam tikam. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasudeva Gaura Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. A devotee is not judged on external qualification. It is not considered what is the condition of birth. It is not considered what is the condition of the body. A devotee is always worshipable. And a devotee brings so many blessings. A devotee is one who has pleased the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And because the Lord is pleased, we should always remember that the Lord is glancing upon that devotee smiling. And that is, whenever we see a devotee, it is very helpful to think or remember that Krishna is just glancing upon this devotee with a smile. Because then we will deal with that devotee in a different way. It's like, if we just see the individual, well, then we can see, this one has these qualities lacking, that one, is not quite there yet, and so on. We can see so many shortcomings. But when we see Krishna smiling upon that devotee, then we might just keep in mind, well, you don't want to mess with Krishna. Maybe you want to mess with someone else, but not with Krishna. So we think twice before being disrespectful. In this way, one should always be respectful to every Vaishnava. Srila Prabhupada was himself so respectful. Srila Prabhupada was saying that the Lord sent me so many spiritual masters. He sent me so many spiritual masters. You are all just teaching me how to serve Krishna. All of you are serving Krishna so with so much enthusiasm. He says, I feel purified. In this way, Srila Prabhupada was speaking in the narrations of Dhruva Maharaj. There is a passage where it is described how Dhruva Maharaj was going back to Godhead, and he enters into this Vaikuntha plane. He stepped on the head of death and just stepped straight into this transcendental plane, about to go back to Godhead. And then Dhruva Maharaj is saying, wait a minute, what about my mother? If somehow or other I have qualified to go back to Godhead, then it is only because my mother was the one who instructed me in the first place. It's all her credit, really. She gave me instruction to go and turn towards the Supreme Lord, and then I did. Therefore, what about my mother? Then he saw that there was a Vaikuntha plane, and that his mother was also entering into this other plane and also going back to Godhead. So then Srila Prabhupada writes a purport, and in the purport he says, in the same way, I'm instructing my disciples, and I'm hoping that one of them may become a pure devotee and take me back to Godhead. So in this way, we can see how Prabhupada was thinking, how he was thinking, and how he's thinking here. He's just pointing out, here they are, the various personalities, the Brahma Rishi, the Raja Rishi, Deva Rishi. Said, but like Prabhupada points out, higher than the Brahmanas, higher than saintly kings, higher than even sages amongst the demigods is the pure devotee. He establishes a principle here. We are not looking at these personalities. I mean, Narada was a great devotee. Parsaram, an incarnation of the Lord. Vyasadeva, also a Shakti Avesh avatar. Also, elsewhere in the Bhagavatam described as equally qualified as Sukadeva Goswami. But still, Sukadeva was worthy of all respect because he was a devotee. And Prabhupada just looks at that. Sukadeva didn't have any other qualification. He had nothing. He was truly someone. He had nothing. He was going naked throughout the world. We once said, when I became temple president in Vrindavan, one of the first things that happened was there was a meeting with the four GVCs of Vrindavan and myself, and they told me that there are too many cows in the Goshala, and we should give some away. And there is one Baba on the other side of the Yamuna, and he is accepting cows. So why don't you go there and ask him? You know. So, okay. And they had arranged it. So, sort of my third day in the post, I was shipped out to meet this this Baba. And this Baba, it can't be the third day. Anyways, because it was cold, so it was a bit later. But anyway, it was cold, and we came there. And on the way, they'd sent an Indian devotee with me who knew him, and he told me on the way, yeah, this is not just some Baba, this is a Nanga Baba. He is always naked. He never wears clothes. Okay. And it was cold. It was cold. You know. We were like bundled up, you know, like heavy clothes, and it was freezing. So we went there to this place, and yes, there was the Baba. He was naked. He was seated in front of a fire. And there was a little tent sort of half over him, made of a tarpaulin, and there's a lot of smoke in that tent. So we sat down at the fire, and the devotee who came with me started coughing, and the guy said, "A bit smoky, isn't it?" he was tough like nails. And yes, so he was saying that, yes, he said, you know, I go with my trident to the trains, he said, because in this state there is no cow slaughter allowed. So they ship out the cows to Kerala and to Bengal, where cow slaughter is allowed. He said, so I go on the trains and I just break the lock of the coaches and take out the cows with my trident. He says, and no one's going to touch me. Who's going to touch a sadhu? He said. And if anybody is trying to touch a sadhu, then they get a trident. So in this way, he was taking the cows, and he had, at the time, 475 cows. And he was saying, yes, when my cows don't eat, you know, well, he said, like, then I just stand at the road and I wait for the villagers to come by, and they come by with a load of grains or things to take to the market, and I stand there with my trident. I said, like, and then it goes to my cows. He said, of course, sometimes the villagers take the other road. It's long, but they take that one to avoid me. He said, in that case, you know, if my cows don't eat, then I don't eat. He said, and then if my cows don't eat, then the village doesn't eat. And then, if still my cows don't eat, then I beat somebody up. And then usually my cows eat. So, like this, he was taking care of the cows quite nicely. Then he said, you may wonder why I'm doing all this. He said, like, well, he said, years ago, I was traveling and I was in Bombay and I stayed one night in a Gandhi ashram, and in the next morning the people looking after the ashram, they said, so how are you going to pay your debt? He said, debt, what do you want to take from me? He said, I am naked, I have nothing, I have no pockets. He said, the only thing I have is this trident. You want that one? So they said, no, it's not that. He said, but the Vedas say that if you have taken salt from someone, that you are indebted. He said, like, well, I guess I took your salt. He said, then what do you want? I said, okay. I want that you go to Vrindavan and protect the cows. So then he had gone to Vrindavan and started to protect the cows in his own unique way. So I had to ask him if he was going to take our cows, and I felt like, this man is all alone. We are the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, you know. How can I ask this man? to take our cows. We are so many. We have less cows than he does, and we can't take care of them. I couldn't get myself to ask him, but the devotee who came with me had no shame, so he was like, psst, psst, psst. Baba said. Okay. So then he gave us a full tour, and then he showed, and here are the calves, and here are the cows, and here. He said, and here we're going to build a beautiful cow shed. It will be very, very nice. It will be first class. He said, yes. And he said, in this beautiful cow shed, we're going to put your cows, and you will pay for constructing this cow shed. Yeah. So he was not a slow rider. So he was a bit of a businessman. And I said, well, thank you very much. We'll definitely let you know. And then he said, no. Wait a minute. You know, he said, don't go. It's so rare that there are devotees. It's so rare that devotees come. You rarely see a devotee. He said, like, people all day long have to fight with these villagers and so on. Let's talk about Krishna. Mm-hmm. And let's just, you know, spend some time together. Mm-hmm. So then, like that, pious souls. A pious soul, this man. A very pious soul. Probably much more pious than any of us, or than all of us together, to take so much austerity on his own accord without anyone really forcing him, and just because someone said, hey, you've taken our salt. We would say, yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one. You know, where'd you read that? You know, far out, you know. Anyway, see you later, alligator. That's a good one. We would laugh and walk away and never think about it again. But this man is so pious. He had so much faith in the Vedas. So much faith in the Vedas that he just changed his whole life on the basis of that. When he received the instruction to protect the cows, he really went for it. And he gave it his everything. He put his whole life, in service of the cows. And stuck out his neck, you know what I mean? Fighting and everything. His whole being in service of the cows. So, what a surrendered soul he was. But the nicest part was when he was appreciating the devotees in the very end. You know, devotees are so rare, and discussions about Krishna are so rarely had. But that is what is there with the devotees. Machita matkata prana buriyantas parantara katiyantas chamamnicha tushyanticha ramanticha. In the association of devotees, there is this. These discussions about Krishna. And such discussions about Krishna are all auspicious, because they destroy all suffering. And such discussions about Krishna, they elevate us. And it said, the one who hears such discussions is being purified and elevated. The one who inquires while such discussions are going on is even more purified and elevated. And the one who is speaking is most elevated in such discussions, because he becomes the most absorbed in remembering Krishna. So this is wonderful. Where the Vaishnavas are, the glorification of Krishna is going on. Yesterday we spoke about the topic of the holy name, Sankirtan, right, which is the glorification of Krishna. And yes, that is very nice. And then I'm remembering how not only did Srila Prabhupada introduce the chanting of the holy name, but he also introduced the possibility of rendering service to the holy name. or rendering service to the Sankirtan movement, which is, you know, how much can we chant? How long can we chant? How much? It's difficult. We're not Haridas Thakur. Imagine if we could one day in our life chant 300,000 names like Haridas did, somehow or other. He would just chant and chant and chant and chant and chant and chant, and then whoopee, 300,000 names. Could we do it again the next day? I mean, you ever tried 64 rounds? You ever tried 64 rounds on a daily basis? It feels, even with 16, sometimes it's, my God, we just finished our rounds and we already have to start again. It never ends. It never seems to end. Yes, that is a fact. Kirtaniya Sadahari. It never ends. But the devotees have this treasure of the glorification of Krishna. And that is very nice. Therefore, nicham bhagavata sevaya. We are turning to the Bhagavatam, because the Bhagavatam is the glorification of Krishna and his devotees who are always glorifying him. So, Sukadev Goswami, the one who was naked, who had nothing, who had no pockets, that who had nothing in this world that was of any interest to him. Sukadev was particular. That was his unique qualification. His dedication to Krishna was 100%, and there was nothing else that could interest him at all. Nothing. Yeah? And Sukadev, who was so transcendental to lust, yeah, that when he was at 16 years of age walking through the forest naked, he came upon an isolated area where some girls were bathing in a pond, and they had also taken off their clothes. They were naked. And nothing. There was no, not a thought, no feeling arising in Sukadev Goswami of enjoying with these girls. Not at all. There was no attraction, zero. It didn't happen. He was so transcendentally absorbed. There was no lust in him, nothing, not a spark. So that is like practically impossible. But it is described that there are devotees like that. I always remember Uddhava, who was seeing this beautiful young girl and became attracted and thought, what's happening? How can I become attracted to this girl? I'm getting attracted to this girl as much as I'm attracted to Krishna. I think it must be Krishna dressed up like a girl. And it was. So it's another level. There are those who are renounced. There are those who are very strict. There are those who are brahminical. There are those who are in the mode of goodness and always, again and again, turning to the rules and regulations of the scripture. But a devotee who is absorbed in love of God, where is such a person? Lord Nityananda was traveling all over the planet in the greatest ecstasy. Then Madhavendra Puri was preaching everywhere, in every town and village, the glories of the Lord. And wherever Madhavendra Puri went, he was like Sparsamani. He was like a transcendental touchstone, and whoever he touched transformed by the presence of Madhavendra Puri and became a great devotee. Then one day, Madhavendra Puri saw Lord Nityananda. Lord Nityananda saw Madhavendra Puri. When the two saw each other, they realized for the very first time, I'm meeting one who has nothing but love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who has no interest in anything else and is completely
filled with such transcendental love. And when they saw each other, and they knew, we have never before in our life met such a person. They met very pious people. They had met very strict and renounced people. They had met people who were ready to work very hard, to work very hard for the Supreme Lord with a lot of energy. They had met people who were very equipoised and sense-controlled and always acting with kindness and compassion. They had met so many personalities with so many great devotees, but they'd never met anyone who was 100% absorbed in love of God until they met each other. And then when they met each other, they just rolled over the ground in the greatest ecstasy. And, you know, Madhavendra Puri was surrounded by his disciples. Iswara Puri was also there. And they were just looking at, like, what is going on here? They were rolling and kicking and so many things. It's just like out of this world. So, yes, such a devotee. The devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were like that. They were like filled with prema, filled with transcendental love. It is said that Balabhacharya, he came to meet Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he was extremely learned. He was a great scholar. He had thoroughly studied the scripture, and he came to share that with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But it is said that in the presence of the associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Balabhacharya looked like a glowworm in comparison to luminaries in the sky. Because these associates of Mahaprabhu, they were so effulgent. They were just had such a natural brightness because of their love of God. That Balabhacharya, with all his learning, right, and all his purity as a brahmana, could not come close. Could not come close. So this is a fact that the Vaishnava is the topmost of all. And of course, there are different. There is Vaishnava, there is Vaishnavatar, and Vaishnavuttama. Or there are different Vaishnavas. Sadavanjana Bhakta Adhikari. Then Uttama Madhyam Kanista Shraddha Anusari. That the Shraddhavan, a person who is a Shraddhavan, is a very rare person. A person who has developed faith in Krishna. Anandamaya Vyasat, the living entity, is by nature pleasure seeking. Wherever he believes that pleasure is to be found, that is where his faith is directed. When he thinks it's money, then where happiness is, or it's sex, then it's sex. And like this, people are pursuing happiness. But Sradhavan is one who has developed great faith that this happiness is found with Krishna. The Kanista is not fully fixed. The Kanista is one who is thinking, yes, I do believe in Krishna, yes, but there are also many good things in this world. And they are also giving you happiness. And sometimes the things in this world are more easily accessible and available right here, whereas, you know, the happiness of Krishna is difficult and to reach. I believe in it, but it takes a lot of austerity to reach, and don't know if I have the strength to perform all this austerity. In this way, the Kanista is, Kanista, Ka, is standing here for weak. He's weak in his determination. Kamala Shraddha, he has weak faith, it is said. So therefore, the Kanista can be distracted from the path of devotional service and can be taken away from devotional service by mundane association. And therefore the Kanista must be very careful to be in in good association and to avoid mundane association. The Madhyam Adhikari, it is said, Ishvara Tadani Nesu Bali Sesu Dvisat Sacha Prema Maita Kripa Peksha Yakaruti Samajama. The Madhyam Adhikari, he has love for the Supreme Lord. He is actually very much appreciating Krishna. It's just prem. It is not the same prem as the Uttama, but there is some love. But it is maybe not fully developed, but there is some love for Krishna in the Madhyam Adhikari. And the Uttam, that love is blossoming to its full stage. And so in this way, there are devotees on different levels. Vaishnavatar is the Madhyam Adhikari, and Vaishnavottama, the topmost Vaishnava. So here we are looking at Sukadev being honored as the topmost Vaishnava. Topmost Vaishnavas, they're always honored. They're always honored. On Prabhupada's appearance day, I was speaking the whole day about Prabhupada quite a lot, and one of the things was that that came up was that wherever Krishna was, that was the place where that was the center of the universe. It is said when Krishna, in Bhagavatam is described how Krishna returns to Dwarka and how the residents of Dwarka in his absence had felt like those whose eyes were bereft of sunlight, all living in darkness. And that when Krishna returned, it was like the sun returned. You know, they could again see. In the absence of Krishna, they were blind. So strong was their attachment. And life returned. Yeah. So in this way, devotees are only interested wherever Krishna is. But the interesting thing is that the pure devotee has the same potency. Wherever Prabhupada was, that was the center. Or that was the place where it was happening. That was the most important place on the planet. That was where all the devotees on the planet were thinking about, wherever they were. That place, that was the place to be. If it was Vrindavan, it was Vrindavan. If it was New York, it was New York. Wherever Prabhupada was, that was the most important place. That was it, the happening place. And it was happening. Wherever Prabhupada was, it was always happening. There always was extraordinary transcendental bliss or deep transcendental experience, because Prabhupada was all the time living in this transcendental experience. And then in Zagreb during Jamastami, we were discussing how a devotee who is in the more initial stages, the Kanistha and the Madhyam, they always feel that there is a barrier between them and Krishna. Somehow or other, there is a wall between them and Krishna. The wall of our false ego is really what is between us and Krishna. And therefore, we cannot see Krishna. And therefore, we are struggling in the material world. We're struggling with the senses and the mind. And knowing very well that Krishna is there, but he's on the other side of that wall, so we can't see him, and therefore spiritual life is becoming a struggle and difficult and so on. And I was remembering how once I had a friend who was very tall, more than 2 meters tall, and we were walking in Calcutta. And as we're walking in Calcutta, I was mentioning to him, I said, "Calcutta, my God, no wonder that they call it the black hole of the universe. Look how dirty and filthy this city is, you know. Crows everywhere. Flying around and just garbage and stinking and people digging in these garlets and lepers with fingers and toes rotted off and no noses and just everything black and dark, gloomy walls and some Calcutta. Cockroaches all over the city, millions of cockroaches, big ones. It's like, what a dump of a place. So I was just, and smell and this, that. So I was walking there and saying, oh God, Calcutta, what a horrible place. He said, what do you mean? He said, Calcutta. He said, such a beautiful city. I go, beautiful city? What do you mean? You know, look at it, like filthy and black, you know, black walls. And then he said, no, Calcutta, city of beautiful gardens. Because he was more than 2 meters tall, he could look over the walls. And he could everywhere see beautiful gardens. And I could only see the black walls, you know. So we were like in a different dimension. Yeah? He was just in a beautiful city in heaven. And I was in hell. Right? And that was the situation. Yeah? Yeah, it's very interesting. And always remember that as we are becoming purified, we are elevated and to a point where we can look over this wall. And then there was a story about the German Sankirtan devotees, and the last time they met Prabhupada, they all went to London on that last visit of Prabhupada, and they came to Prabhupada's room. And Manidhar actually is describing how he came in the room, he said, and it was as if Prabhupada was sitting in Vaikuntha. He was just emanating this Vaikuntha consciousness. And it's just, he was in the spiritual world. He said, and it was just as if they were standing on the outside and had a glimpse over the wall of Vaikuntha and were able to look into Vaikuntha in this way. And I really liked that because it's like really how it is. Who's doing what?
Hey, in the day this happens. In the middle of the class, everybody walks out.
Jananivas.
What is this? I don't get it.
Jananivas.
Haribol. Haribol. Your Guru Maharaj is calling. Please come. Hare Krishna.
Don't go into the kitchen. We are on a different program. Don't serve me by sitting in the class this time because it causes agitation, as you have noticed, so don't do it. It's okay. Everything is cool. We are, in this way, we are absorbed in remembering Krishna. And when we are in the neophyte stages, then we remember Krishna being on the other side of the wall, being invisible. But gradually we get glimpses, cracks appear in the wall. Yeah? By constantly beating that wall with the holy name, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, karate blows. Sometimes, sometimes if you really chant seriously, you might just with one blow knock a brick out of the wall and suddenly get a glimpse. My God, Krishna. For a moment of inspiration. And in this way, gradually we rise higher on higher ground until we get moments that we can look over the wall. Until we come to the point where we can begin to see more and more over the wall. And gradually the wall begins to crumble and whole pieces fall off. Until it's just totally gone, like the wall in Berlin. Then we get a clear view of Krishna. And it's all depending on the depth of our faith. When we are coming to the point where we realize our only happiness is with Krishna, and it is just nowhere else, Nowhere else is any happiness found. It's all with Krishna. And such a Vaishnava is a Vaishnava Uttama, an Uttama Adhikari, a topmost devotee. Such a Vaishnava who's always living in his relationship with Krishna and just thinking the happiness is with Krishna. There's no other happiness than with Krishna. Such a person is just an ocean of mercy. Such a person, any moment of being in the association of such a devotee is a blessing. Any service that we can render to such a devotee is a blessing. Such a devotee must be received as good as Krishna. It's not only that we are receiving those who are formally designated and stamped with a big rubber stamp, guru, boom. They are the ones, you have to be respected, you know, like on the forehead, like big sign, you know. Take out the binoculars. Does he have it? Yes, it's there. Okay. Bring out the garlands, bring out, you know, everything. No. Every Vaishnava. And we can see in every Vaishnava some service is done. And that must be respected. And respect means not only that we are giving some lip service, but respect means also that we recognize these Vaishnavas as important persons. Not just that somebody's important, but when you recognize someone as an important person, then it means what is important for that person is important. Otherwise, if you only externally accept someone as an important person, you hang like kilos of flowers around his neck and so many other things, but you're not considering important what is important to that person, it means then you're not taking that person as very important. Yeah. So it is quite something to actually respect a Vaishnava. It's a big thing, because we must accept as important what is important to that Vaishnava. So we must accept it, that this Vaishnava can give us something valuable. And in that way, we can respect senior Vaishnavas. And not only the Uttama Adhikari, but all Vaishnavas. And we can see that many Vaishnavas deserve more respect than we do. They did a lot more service than we did, for example. Anybody who did more service than we did is to be respected. And I was also in Zagreb, remembering Bhakti Bhusan Maharaj, right, who was known as Suchandra, one of the first German devotees. And actually, what happened was Shivananda came from America, 19 years old, with a desire to preach, stood there on the street all alone, had brought some magazines with him, some early magazines from America, some Back to Godheads, was standing there chanting Hare Krishna with cartels all by himself in Hare Krishna outfit. So here's this man from the moon standing on the street basically singing a song, right, in strange language, and he has a magazine. So Bhakti Bhusan Maharaj then stopped on the street, looked at him, went to talk to him, immediately attracted, went to talk to him, got a magazine. He read the magazine, and the next day he joined him. I mean, what did he join? Right? He joined a man with a magazine. I mean, that's something else, you know, like, then umming and ahhing, shall I join the International Society for Krishna Consciousness? Shall I move in the temple? I mean, you know, it's like weird. You know, I when I first came to Bombay, and I saw these two towers, you know, that the of the guest house and the temple behind, and then you have like one of these overhanging roofs, and for at the as you're coming in and you come in your car, dry under, and it looks really like a fancy hotel, you know. Then you go like, then I was thinking like, wow, ISKCON is something. I joined something, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's like not just a bunch of eccentrics, but I joined something. But what did he join? So one day I was staying with him in the room with my, and I asked him, I said like, Maharaj, you know, I mean, how come you just joined one guy with a magazine? How could you do it? You know what I mean? He said like, well, you know, I always was like that. If I was convinced that something was the truth, then I would just surrender immediately. So how is this possible? Prabhupada writes in his letters, he said, my Guru Maharaj sent me so many great souls to assist me in his mission. My Guru Maharaj told me in 1922 to take up this preaching mission. He said, but I am a little slow, you know, so I didn't do it until 1965. Therefore, he sent many nice persons like all of you to help me. He said, all of you were great devotees in your last life, and now you have come to help me. Well, one can understand that yes, some of these persons were obviously great devotees in their last life. Otherwise, how can you join someone with a magazine? You know, it's not possible. It's due to previous piety. Those who are more impious, they are more attached to other activities, more attached to their own independence. They don't want to surrender. I don't know if I'm gonna join this guy. I don't know if I'm gonna join this temple. I don't know. I mean, you know, I checked it out and thinking about it, but I'm not so sure. You know, maybe, but then again, on the other hand, maybe not. It's due to impiety, due to attachment, due to this, yeah, well, you know, what if I join the Hare Krishna? Then I give up my privacy, my space that I need for my mind and my senses, because my mind and my senses are very important to me, you know what I mean? They mean a lot to me. So in this way, we can just see deeply entangled, sinful, fallen, through rotten to the core, from life after life associating with the material energy, and therefore stubbornly attached, and therefore thinking like, I'm not going to give it up. No. Even if I know I should, I still will not do it. No. Slippery. Say, yeah, sure, I'll surrender. And meanwhile, we slip away. It's like thinking about it 100 times and just thinking and not and knowing, yes, I should surrender, but not moving. Just not moving. And when we move, when we finally know, okay, I guess I have to move, then we move very slowly. Not too fast. So all these are all the qualities of sinfulness, which make us kanista, sinful attachment, old habits, materialistic, and that will have to be worn down by the process of devotional service. So somehow or other, we gotta hang in there and just carry on holding on close to the devotees. Whatever we do, whatever happens with devotees, we should stay with the devotees. It's like
We can be tested.
It's like my
first day on Sankirtan was rough. It was minus 15. I was sitting in the back of the van, and there was a compartment and two bhaktas sitting on the boxes of books. The brahmanas were sitting in the front. They had the 7-Up and the cashews, so we were a little envious. And we were green with envy and blue because of being frozen. And then finally, we stopped at the spot, and the devotees had stolen a shopping cart from a supermarket. And so someone opens the door and says, "Give the shopping cart." So I sort of passed it on, and he was very passionate, so he just ripped it out of my hands, and my finger got caught, and it hurt like hell. And then it just, I came out of the van and a blowing on my finger, and he said, what's wrong? I said, my finger got caught, it hurt my finger. He said, "You're not the body." It helped. It warmed me up. It was cold, but I felt a bit warmer after that. Then they sent me out with this other new bhakta, and the guy was like, a real new bhakta. He was all the time going, "Jai Nectar Bliss, Jai Nectar." That was all he could say, "Jai Nectar Bliss." So I was in a mean mood from that finger. So I thought, I wanted to say something nasty. So I said, you Jai Nectar Bliss, you realize it's minus 15 and you're not having any gloves. If you're going to be out in the street all day, your hands are going to freeze. That's what you get for your Jai Nectar Bliss. Yeah. And he goes, "It doesn't matter. I'm not the body, Prabhu." And I go, "My God, first a fanatic and now a madman." So it wasn't so easy my first day out in Sankirtan. The second day was worse. The second day I'm out in the street hesitating to approach people, freezing. So, you have these big shopping centers and they usually have heating at the entrance, blowing hot air. So then Sankirtan devotees, they like to stand in that hot air. It's a famous thing every Sankirtan devotee does. So I discovered it on my second day out, and I just did it and I stood there. And just as I was warming up, suddenly this lady stands in front of me. And we're in a strange city, far away on the other side of the country, in the middle of nowhere where I'd never been before. And I'm standing in this city, under that hot air. And suddenly that lady stands in front of me, and it's the mother of my girlfriend. And she was not supposed to be there. And what I didn't tell you is that I was new. I had just joined the Hare Krishna movement. And what they had done, they'd thrown my normal clothes away. I had a good navy winter coat. They threw it away, and instead they gave me a nylon jacket, which was yellow, black, yellow. I looked like a wasp. And shaved up, and this head up to my eyebrows, one of those woolly heads up to there. And I looked like a real Hare Krishna. So I was very self-conscious. When you wear weird clothes, you feel weird also. So I didn't feel very self-assured. And then suddenly this mother of my girlfriend stood in front of me in the wrong place. And she says, "What are you doing here?" Looking at me like, "What happened to you?" Because she didn't know. Looking at me like, just that she recognized me. So I was so shocked that I just said, "Excuse me, lady. I never met you in my life." And if you do that, if you go like that, you tell a lie like that, you can't go back. Then you have to just go on, So I just had to go on with it. And she goes like, "Nah, I can't believe it. You don't want to know me." I said, "I think you're really mistaking me for somebody else." They kept it up, So that was my second day. Oh, God. What misery. I was mentally broken after that. That's tough.
So all this struggle was there, and I was just, I was wallowing in self-pity and thinking, poor me, you know, I mean, look what I have to go through, this is too much, you know, I'm freezing to death. And you don't, they didn't even give you anything hot to eat, they just give you some yogurt, some bananas and some peanuts, you know, with some 7-Up for lunch. Yeah, that was it, out there. But, because I had no faith, and I was thinking of how I could be in a nice warm house, and that it was crazy to be out in the street, and I convinced myself, this is totally insane, and why am I doing this? You know, I really shouldn't be doing this. But if I would have had a little more faith and think, here I have these amazing transcendental books, and they're so wonderful, they can just change somebody's life completely. Then I could have just been there in bliss and thinking, yes, you know, this is so wonderful. And people are all buying gifts, but they're buying their own gifts. Let me give them one of these books as a right gift. And then I would have done it in a totally different consciousness. So I had no faith, very little faith. And because I had such weak faith, therefore, on the third day, I ran away. I didn't last. So in this way, we are seeing the result of faith. So when we don't have so much faith, somehow or other, we must stay close to the devotees. Stay close to a devotee and to the devotees in general. And then, somehow or other, it says, Duogame patime indasya skalat padamat gatir mahu yad kripa swasti danne na santa santa avalapanam. Said, my feet are always slipping on the path. My spiritual life is very difficult, but somehow or other I can carry on by the mercy of the devotees. And it's devotees that somehow or other are always giving us new inspiration. Now, after all these years, it's like they're so many amazing devotees that associated with me. And like one of them was Sridhar Maharaj, who was like Gaur Hari's spiritual master. And I was, when I was the temple president in Vrindavan, one day I was walking, I was very busy, obviously, because it's a big temple, a lot to do. So I was walking in the guest house in Vrindavan, the Krishna Balaram guest house. And somehow or other, the corridors in that guest house are super narrow. Why they made them so narrow? I think that was a bit of a mistake. I've never been in a guest house with such narrow corridors. Very inconvenient. People are moving around, you know, you need bigger corridors. Such narrow corridhors. So, you know, Sridhar Maharaj came from the other side. Sridhar Maharaj was, which is rotund, right? I mean, he had a nice round, he had a serious belly, you know, it was like not a soft floppy one, but something serious, something solid, right? As I found out, because he was coming from one way, I was coming from the other direction, and I was busy, so I just said, Hari Bol Maharaj, and I wanted to walk past him. He had different ideas, so he just stepped in my way, blocked me with his belly, and then just moved it forward, and I flew against the wall. And the next moment, he pinned me with his belly against the wall, and he said, Karma kanda jnana kanda kevala bisirbanda. So for a moment, I was totally bewildered. First of all, I hadn't expected that the Maharaj would do this to me. I didn't think Maharajas were acting like that, but he was. And so I was a bit shocked of what he just did. And then slowly I began to translate what he was saying, you know, and basically he was saying that that this karma kanda, trying to enjoy the material energy, or jnana kanda, trying for liberation, impersonal liberation, these are simply pots of poison. And they're thinking, it took me a moment to realize, he's telling me, don't be so impersonal. Can't you just talk to me? Right? So, okay.
I'm so busy with your management.
Yeah, so then we stopped, you know, and we just had a talk, and, you know, okay. You know, and, like, you know. And then, okay, as soon as he walked away, I quickly got busy with my management again. Because it's easier said than done not to be so busy with the management. But yeah, he was in that transcendental mode. So, that was nice. That's a little gift that he gave me. And now I can see a little gift of association, because I'll never forget that. Yeah. That's for sure. I'll remember that for the rest of my life. And then one thing also from him that I remember, that in the mid-80s, he gave a lecture in Vrindavan. And it's like giving this lecture and, you know, he's sitting on the Vyasasan in front of probably a few thousand devotees. Packed, middle of the festival. The festivals were big in those days, you know, it was packed. And he goes like, yeah, I've been thinking about this for a long, long time. And, you know, I've kept it inside, but I just feel that I just can't do it any longer. I have to speak about it, and I feel I have to do it now. And we're all looking at him like, you know, I mean, what's this, you know? I mean, I hope it's not what I think it is, you know what I mean? And he goes like, it happened last year in France. And we go, oh no, oh God, oh no, not another one. And oh no, and he's not going to tell us right here, right off the Vyasasan, in the middle of like thousands of people. I mean, oh please, like, you know. And he goes, yes, it happened last year in France. I broke the four regulated principles. We go, oh. No, this is too much. He says, yes, yes. He said, you know, I ate Danone yogurt, the anticlimax. He's like, he said, yes, usually it's vegetarian. He said, but last summer there was a period, which was published later in the paper, that the company couldn't get the vegetarian ingredients and that they used non-vegetarian things. He said, I broke the four regulative principles. Oh my God. What a lecture. What a lecture. We'll never forget that lecture. Forever. And it was, of course, what a stunt also, to do something like that in front of all these devotees. I mean, premeditated the whole thing, you know what I mean? And then, you know, thinking about it, also, what loyalty, you know, if you think about it a little deeper, what loyalty that he's so strict about. Anyone would say, well, you know, I mean, what can you do, you know, I mean, big deal, you know what I mean? Sometimes it happens, you know, there's some, you know, this world is like that, Kali Yuga's everywhere, and they mix it in everything accidentally, you know what I mean? You may eat something that is not completely kosher. Anyway, you hope that Krishna will protect you. You know, you can't be fanatic about such things. And anyway, life goes on, you know what I mean? But here, Sridhar Maharaj was pointing out, no, life doesn't just go on. It's serious. It's serious. We have to be serious. So in this way, with his story, he just showed such faith. Such faithfulness. If one quality that he had was faithfulness, he was extremely faithful. He used to like to call himself Prabhupada's dog. He used to do that.
But he had a cap.
Yeah, he even had a cap, right? Which said Prabhupada. He used to do say that again and again, I'm Prabhupada's dog. But he had that, dogs are very faithful. So maybe that's why he liked to call himself Prabhupada's dog. He's extremely faithful. It's interesting, the word faithful, because the word faithful means loyal in English. If you look it up in the dictionary, faithful means loyal. Very loyally following. Loyal means just not very nicely following and always being favorably disposed towards following a person, a master. And that's exactly what he did. He followed very faithfully. But it also means having faith, faithful. Right? It doesn't just mean loyal, but it also means being full of faith. It's an interesting word, faithful. He had so much faith that if I simply follow Prabhupada, everything will be auspicious. And at the end of his life, in his last days, he said, I've been a good boy. So, this is nice. So, a Vaishnava. I have many more Sri Dharmaraj stories, actually. Gaurali brings them out.
I've heard many of them.
Yeah. I'm sure you did. But, you know, everyone has his own story, so I have my own stories about Sri Dharmaraj. Because he was in India, I was in India, so it's one person I did associate with. And he gave me many blessings. He gave me many blessings. After I became a sannyasi, then I was with Sri Dharmaraj, and once you're a sannyasi, the devotees, they don't make a distinction between Prabhupada disciple or not Prabhupada disciple, not very much. They begin to offer you a lot of respect, just like anybody else, but I'm not a Prabhupada disciple. So Sri Dharmaraj also, he must have observed it over a longer period of time. So one day we're driving in the car, and then there was a conversation, and somehow in the conversation I don't know what I said, but somehow or other indicated that I considered myself not on the same level. And then he said, oh, you're actually not considering yourself on the same level. I said, sort of like approving, I didn't expect that kind of thing. And all these little things, right, are blessings. He blessed me. I can't deny. He blessed me by blocking me in the corridor. He blessed me many times. And many other Vaishnavas blessed me. In 1984, there was the installation of Prabhupada's deity for his samadhi in Vrindavan. And there was a problem that they had a table where the deity is going on a table, and it was supposed to be a big bathing ceremony. And they had a drum which fit under the table, but they had forgotten that on the table there were supporting beams, just like on this little table, So they couldn't get the drum under it, no matter how they tried, last minute. And they found out just before that Abhishek, so what to do. So they were looking left and right, what shall we do? Shall we cut one of those things and put it there and then nail it back on, And I said, don't worry. I said, I'll just go under there with buckets, with a team, and we'll do it, We'll take care of it. Mm. Well, we did, I went under there with buckets. I was under the table catching the Abhishek, moving on the buckets, putting an X one. And I tell you, it came down. The milk, the yogurt, the honey. I don't know if you've ever been covered from head to toe in unlimited quantities of honey. But it's an experience, I can tell you that. My God, then the ghee, you know, once again, endless ghee. And finally, all the water, you know, endless water. I was freezing. And I got kicked by all the senior Vaishnavas of that time. Brahmananda stood on my hand. I still remember that.
<He's> big.
And Narayan Maharaj even kicked me. Yeah. Everybody kicked me. In the Jumna Maharaj, I got kicked by all the Vaishnavas. So that was mercy. That was mercy. Yeah. So all this mercy, it adds up. It adds up. So much mercy I got from many, many Vaishnavas over the years. It's that mercy that stays with us. Somehow or other, shortly after I... the first sannyasi I met after taking sannyas was Sachinandan Maharaj, and he spontaneously called out, "Oh, Vairagi Bhai, you know, brother in renunciation." Mm-hmm. And it really felt like welcome, you know. It felt like, phew, it was nice that there was like someone acknowledging that I was there now and with that vow, and that there was a brotherhood. And that became the basis of our friendship, which has developed over the years, which I, it meant something to me. Then shortly after that, I met Satsarup Maharaj, and he saw me. He said, "Oh, you took sannyas." I said, "Well, I'm trying to be a sannyasi." He said, "Me too," mm-hmm. which, you know, was also just a good instruction, right? It's like for a whole life, we're just trying. So all that association of all these devotees is with me now. And it's just a source of strength. Even just all these memories of all these moments with all these devotees are just with me now. And just keep me going. And yes, and I... and then, well, in this way, we are gradually coming to the point where we can say, I'm only made of mercy. Yeah? I'm just made of mercy. Mercy of all these Vaishnavas. Mercy of all the service we could do. And all that stays with us each time. And that will carry us. That will carry us. So we must go for mercy and serve the Vaishnavas. Okay. Now it's been a long time. Any questions? I saw him first.
Yeah, you mentioned about Kanista Adhikari and Madhyamara Adhikari, and if I get it right, you mentioned that the most important thing is to stay in a good association and avoid mundane association. Is there anything else that is very important to take this step from Kanista Adhikari to Madhyamara Adhikari?
To have a service attitude. At the very root of everything is service attitude, and towards everyone, always have a service attitude. So whenever we see a Vaishnava, always think, how can I serve this Vaishnava? And just think, this every Vaishnava is a very important person and must be treated special, every Vaishnava. And if we could just have that service attitude, that will do it. When there's a service attitude, then automatically we can chant Hare Krishna. Because then we get into the mood of taking shelter. Well, Prabhupada, because Lord Chaitanya said that he was never the master of the holy name, but he was always the servant of the holy name. So one can only chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra if one is the servant of the holy name. So the other main thing is service attitude.
I'm wondering if how we should react or how we can get over, you know, like when, because you said in the beginning that Krishna shows light on all devotees, you know, like that.
He smiles. And
smiles, yeah, yeah. So, when someone performs like heavy aparad towards herself or towards other devotees, and they are also devotees, like,
how can we relate to this? When it happens to ourselves, then a Vaishnava generally doesn't take offense. You know, if someone, Vaishnava just thinks, well, I deserve this. I mean, that's so. Of course, we are not Vaishnavas on that level, so we are getting very upset if someone is not treating us decent. You know, someone treats us really bad. It happens. But then, at least afterwards, we have to sort of, when we're all upset, then we have to preach to ourselves and sort of see it like this. Well, actually, you know, I deserved it. I once was in Vrindavan, and there was this French devotee who just I was temple commander. And it was a rotten job, temple commander, because you're in between the devotees and the management always tells you, and you tell the devotees that they have to do this, and the devotees there, like, you know, and you're not going to tell us anything, are you? So you're sort of really in between. Tough position. So anyway, one day, out of nowhere, this devotee just jumped out of a room. Never seen him with a heavy French accent. He just said, you think you are big chief, you are nothing. Out of nowhere, you know, it's like this. And then he disappeared. And he stood there like, wow, what was that? You know? And he's thinking like, and I never even met the guy. And then I start to think, well, he must be the personified reaction of all the offenses that I've made to the devotees. You know, I guess over the years, as a temple commander, I've offended people. And here he is, the reaction personified. He has appeared. You think you are nothing. Okay. So I try to take it. Okay. But what if you see that someone is not behaving properly, not towards us, but towards others? Then what about that? Chanakya Pandit says that if one wants to correct a person, that it can only be done by someone who is either senior or at least equal, and also must have a friendly relationship with that person. And then whatever correction is done must be done in private. So three factors. Must be senior, preferably senior or at least equal. Must have a friendly relationship. And then done in private. So not like, see, we sometimes just on the spot, right? Just give it back to them, you know what I mean? And without considering these three things, that's not good. We may be junior, then we should not correct the person. But we may go to another senior and say, what do you think about this? Don't you think we should do something about it? But then if they say, it's not so serious, then we still think, like, God, you know, they're also off, you know what I mean? Everybody's off in this temple. I'm the only one, you know what I mean? It's like, just keep some standards here. No, we should accept that the senior devotees do. Okay. Then we should let go and cool down. So one gets used to it with time. After a while, you know, in the Hare Krishna movement, if you're long enough in the Hare Krishna movement, you can tolerate almost anything. You know, it's like nothing can excite you anymore. It's like become detached. Sometimes we think that association of devotees, it means that we just stay with the devotees and we get a lot of inspiration from the devotees. No, that's not all. The other thing of being with the devotees is we get a lot of purification from the devotees. Right? It's tough to be with the devotees. They're not always nice, and it's intense to live with so many people in one building, and to be on top of each other and have all this Vaishnava etiquette. Super intense purification.
I just had a question about, this is something else, about Vallabhacharya. Wasn't he compared to a duck among swans? Or was it someone else?
I don't remember that. I don't remember reading that. Yeah. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, he was described as a glowworm amongst luminaries in the sky. That is particular Krishna's Kaviraj. Possibly someone else wrote that about him, a duck among swans. But it would be it could be said, you know, it's the same meaning as glowworm amongst luminaries. And clearly he was not on the platform of pure bhakti. And yet at that time he'd written this commentary on the Bhagavatam, and which was not respecting Sridhar Swami, the original Bhagavatam commentator. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't want to hear it, and so on. So there was some issue. But still, he was quite exalted. And later on he surrendered. But then again, he started his own movement. He also became known as Mahaprabhu. So we don't, we're not in full agreement with them, but we respect him nonetheless for being the devotee that he is, even if there may be some mixed devotion, but he's to be respected. So we should be careful, glowworm or duck, you know, I mean, not that we start going around, you know, you're the founder, yeah, for example, quack, quack. Jyotishwar knows how to do these things. Quack, quack.
It also puts the greatness of Lord Chaitanya's followers into perspective.
Also.
That he was actually such a very qualified...
Yes.
To this day... is so prominent in the Western Gujarat,
sure.
Rajasthan.
Yes.
Everyone is a follower of Bhagavad.
Yeah, and they're all devotees. And then they can go back to Godhead. Right? I mean, obviously, I mean, you think that those followers on the Pusti Mark who were in Natwar, you know, they're very serious. They're really worshipping.
Wonderful temple.
It's amazing. I mean, and, you know, the whole town is they're all devotees, and in the morning, you stay in any guest house, and they wake you up from Mangal Arati in the whole town. In any hotel, you can't stay in any hotel, you have to go to Mangal Arati. And you come in the temple, and when you come to the deities, and in front of the deities are these guys with the golden hats, and they have a cloth in their hand. And when you sort of come in front of the deity, and you sort of fold your hands, like a lot of people do, they beat you. As soon as you just fold your hands, they start to beat you. You mean? Full dandavats, down to the ground. Down, you know, and then meet you with the cloth. Yeah? And then you see all these Gujarati people in the courtyard of the temple, and some are cutting wood, some are cutting vegetables, and they're all helping in service, you know. And all these nice Gujarati people, come on, so many are going back to Godhead through that movement. But they may not attain the same Golok. Right, or they said that they may not get the same mercy that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave. That they don't get. They get a lower type of realization. Okay, we're going to end now. Because it's getting late. Thank you very much. No problem. Thank you, Jai. Namakam Maharaj.